Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, it's Mark Ross, and I'd like to welcome you to another night of Spiritual Connections Radio. I'm so excited to have you all on this evening, and I want to make an announcement, and that is our co-host Pam Latour is actually going to be traveling through Europe for most of the summer, and she should actually be back on the air with us in September. I was expecting her to be on the show this evening, but I don't know if she's having problems dialing in or if she left for her trip early and I got the dates messed up. So I will just wing it and we'll see if she joins in later. But excuse me, I'd like to just welcome everybody to our summer show. As you know, Spiritual Connections Radio was started by me and Pam Latour about 3 years ago. And it's actually grown by leaps and bounds. We're up to about 2,000 shows now. And that's mostly because we have four or five different people who actually do their own shows on the network, which is something I've been really excited about. The main shows that I generally directly talk on are Spiritual Connections Radio, and then, of course, the Men's Spiritual Hour, which me and Mike do once a month. To find out about this and all the other shows and who our guests are, and if you miss any of the links for any of our guests to find out more information, you can go to our website, which is www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. And I wanted to just tell you, we have a great guest lined up for this evening. We have my friend Barbara from the Oneness University, and who is also someone that I've met since I got into the Texas area. If anybody's been following my travels around the world, you know that I've moved probably about 7 times in the last 2 years. And my recent move since February has been to Fort Worth, Texas. And I've been settling in out here. And, of course, you know, I was doing a big part of the Oneness work with Oneness University and a lot of the Oneness blessing work. And if you listen to the Men's Spiritual Radio Hour, you know that I actually give the Oneness blessing during that radio show. And during that radio show, it's actually embedded into the show. And if you go back and either listen to the show or listen to the replays, you can actually get that blessing. And people do that quite a bit. You know, with the fact that I was doing a lot with the Oneness groups and everything in Orlando, Florida, my friend Lori and Maka and Skip and Mike Milner and that whole group out of Clearwater in Orlando, you know, I connected up with the Oneness group once I got out here to Fort Worth and found myself a new family of just some incredible people, Barbara being one of them. I'll go through the normal intro here, and that is I'll ask Barbara, how do you pronounce your last name? People know that I totally slaughter names, so I'll let you say it.
It's Hartling.
Hartling.
Barbara Hartling.
Barbara Hartling. Has spent 30 years in the corporate America world. Kind of mirrors me a little bit, as anybody knows from following my bio. I spent about 25 years in New York City doing technology work for some of the biggest companies in the world. So I'm very familiar in the corporate world. So Barb comes with 30 years of the corporate world background. Her interest in spirituality and metaphysics has spanned many years, and she's practiced in meditation and Eastern different practices, spending time. And I always get this guy's name wrong. Is it Oshi or Osha?
Osho.
Osho. Yes. It's funny. I've been given his book about 11 times, and I think I've yet to ever read it. And I know a lot of different people talk about his work and how amazing it is. And we'll get into that in a little bit, because I see that you spent some time in his ashram and in Nepal. And then, of course, you've been over for some of the training classes over at Oneness University in India. So, you know, during the show this evening, we'll be, you know, letting people know a little bit more about what is Oneness, what is Diksha, you know, what is the purpose behind it, and we'll get into all kinds of other great topics. I want to just talk a little bit more about you, Barbara, with the fact that you have a focus on using sound and frequencies to enter higher states of consciousness, and that you teach meditation, and that you're a Reiki master, in addition to being a Oneness blessing giver, and that your passion is to connect to people to connect people to the divine through meditation. And if anybody's looking for the link, if you go to our website, I do have the link for One Issue University, so you can find out more about that, as it'll be the topic for this evening. So with that, Barbara, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mark.
So, everybody knows I love telling a story, and I think the first time I met you is when I went over to Susan's for one of what we call the blessing circles. And I guess as we go through this and tell our stories and everything, I'll let you explain to everybody a little bit about what's going on. So let's start with what is the blessing, and what is the purpose?
Okay, well, Oneness was founded by Sri Bhagavan in India, and from a young age, he had a vision to awaken the world. And one of the ways he did that was he introduced the Oneness Blessing. And what the Oneness Blessing is it's an energy transfer that brings about a shift in consciousness. I know a lot of people out there are involved in Reiki, or they've had energy work done. Reiki is an energy for healing, and I would describe the Oneness Blessing in a kind of a similar way, but the energy is actually for awakening, for your awakening. It is given by holding your hands over the top of the recipient, and when a person gets the Oneness Blessing, it triggers this awakening process into higher states of consciousness, and your brain actually physically starts the shift. There's a lot of things that people report from getting the blessing. It starts processes where you start getting a lot of clarity as far as what's going on in your life. It improves your relationships. There's some people that have actually experienced physical healing. And oftentimes, as you know, Mark, when you're in a blessing circle, you can end up going into a state of bliss just receiving the blessings. But overall, the purpose behind the Oneness Blessing is to help with the transformation of humanity and to awaken the world.
Yeah, it's funny. I've actually seen a lot of different reactions and stuff from being in a blessing circle and just basically going around and giving the blessings, everywhere from the person giving the blessing to the person receiving the blessing, going into almost nonstop laughter.
Yeah.
I've seen people cry because there's a lot of release or healing that's occurring. And I think probably if anybody was going to give a common survey of what it's like, a lot of people would just say, well, normally my mind is very busy, especially if they're used to doing any type of meditation practice. And they would come back and say, well, I just noticed after this that, I don't have so much of that monkey chatter or something going on. It's almost like the energy itself, which we know the blessing itself is meant to help the brain settle down and start to shift to allow, that awakening process to occur. And for a lot of people, I think it has a lot of different side effects, everything from just quieting the mind to accelerating their spiritual growth and stuff like that. And it can be done either in person or it can be done remotely. There's a lot of different people out there who are trained in it. Some big names out there like Tony Robbins actually does a lot of Diksha blessings during some of his huge events that he does that probably have 20 or 20,000 people. He does a lot of Diksha at those events. He, of course, is trained as a Diksha giver or a blessing giver. And there's a number of other people who are really famous who also do this type of work. And for a lot of them, they actually embed the blessings into the work they do, let it be teachings, or it could be something like myself. I embed it into the radio shows so that everybody that listens to the radio show is given this blessing. And then also for people who play music, we have a lot of different musicians that do spiritual music where the Diksha is actually embedded into the music. So just listening to the music will allow you to have that blessing. So it's very interesting to kind of see, all the different aspects of it and everything like that. From the fact that I know you've been doing blessings for quite a while, I mean, what are some of the reports you get back from people as far as the benefits that they talk about?
Well, what's really interesting is when people start going into the awakening process, it's interesting to listen to them talk, and we try to do that a lot when we have blessing circles, because there really isn't a set awakening path, and so people's experience is a little bit different from person to person. But really, the state of awakening, it's really a change in the way of the perception that you see reality or how you see reality. So what a lot of people are reporting, now this would be for people that are repeatedly getting the blessings. Their mind starts getting a lot quieter. They develop the ability to stand back and actually watch their thoughts. That's really one of the main points of meditation, is to be able to get to the point where you can watch your thoughts, watch your emotions, actually see your beliefs objectively. And it's very eye-opening to be able to do that. And the blessing really facilitates that process. And when you start going through that, you can start experiencing life without influence from your thoughts and your conditioning and your fears. So people really experience a deep healing of emotional and sometimes physical ailments. So it really brings it brings forward for you how you're approaching life and how you could be approaching it better. And then as time goes on, you start really developing a sense of oneness with everything, and you start getting a very deep connection to the divine. And so I would say over a period of time, those are the longer-term things that people report. And we already talked a little bit about the things that people will experience when they're actually, like, getting a blessing. So ultimately what happens when you're fully awakened, what that means is it basically means the same thing as enlightenment. So you've been transformed. It means you are in a human body on Earth, but you are completely connected to the divine. So you are the divine or source, fully incarnated on Earth. And so that would be the ultimate state of awakening.
Hmm. What, you know, you had talked about Sri Bhagavan being the head of this Oneness University out of India, and him, of course, being one of the people who, you know, brought the blessing to the planet to be given to people. It was interesting. I know when I originally became a Oneness or a blessing giver, I remember the stories being told that there was a time period in history where only advanced monks were allowed to become blessing givers. And we know from the stories and everything that happened that it was decided at one point that it would be better for a number of people to be able to have this gift so that people could actually give the blessing to more people on the planet, so that we could start to shift the planet in order to help the planet itself. What are the other understandings you have as far as the intent of Sri Bhagavan?
Well, you mentioned that he started the energy transfer to individuals so more people in the world could give the blessing. That started like in the mid-2000s, around 2004, 2005. And the spiritual insight that he was getting was that once you had a critical mass of people that were awakened, the whole world would start awakening. And so it would trigger awakening of everybody. And, of course, that would happen over a long period of time. But probably 3 years ago, there was a lot of focus on how many people are actually awakened at this time. And he has some monks that can go into very deep states of meditation, and they can see how many people are awakened. And we turned the corner around in 2012, and in 2012, there was a big shift in the energy. And so now the energy behind the blessings, I think, has gotten a lot more powerful. You know, as a person that gives and receives a lot of blessings, I've noticed a big difference in that. Have you noticed that, Mark?
Well, I think the biggest thing that I noticed, and it was funny because my partner, Christy, had actually pointed it out to me, and that is when I was taught to give the blessing, I used to actually rest my hands on top of the person's head. And, you know, I was basically giving the blessing to Christy one day. And she said, you know, why don't you go ahead and lift your hands off of the head a little bit? And I said, well, no, you know, I'm all about process and this is the way you got to do it. And she goes, no, just take it off, you know, take your hands off of the head and raise them above a little bit. you know, I'm getting the guidance that that is actually the way it should be done. And I moved my hands to hover above her head, probably about maybe 2 or 3 inches. And she said that the energy itself was exponentially just more powerful in the way it came through. And then it was funny because Sri Bhagawan had sent out a message to a number of people around the world saying, oh, by the way, it's not necessary to touch people's heads anymore. So I definitely have noticed that. And just like you had said, you know, with the fact that I've been in some blessing circles, which is a place where a number of people, either blessing givers or non-blessing givers, get together to actually share the blessing or give the blessing to people who want to just receive it. So for anybody that's out there, if you are looking for the blessing, you don't have to be part of the Oneness University. And, you know, one of the things that I was really concerned about when I first got into this, because originally I had stayed away from the Oneness stuff for about 2 years because I thought it was a cult. And, you know, I was very surprised once I got in it to realize that it was open to every religion. There's even people who are, you know, of all different types of belief systems, including atheists, which I was like, well, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, if you're an atheist, you don't even believe in a God, you know. So, you know, it was great to see that there's people who give Diksha, who give the Oneness blessings, that represent pretty much every religious group there is on the planet. So it's great to see that there's just a vast variety of things, and that the Oneness itself and the blessing itself is not religious-based. It's really a path for all people who are following whatever they believe in. And I know you could talk to this also about how Sri Bhagawan has always been a big one to say, well, listen, if you pray to Jesus, pray to Jesus. If you pray to Muhammad, you know, pray to Muhammad. It's whatever you want to, you know, whatever path you're on is the path you could be on, and there's no reason why you shouldn't follow that path. So, yeah, I guess it was a long way of explaining, yes, I've noticed energy has changed.
Yeah, and I will say, when I was in India for a month at Oneness University, in all the classes, they had a big altar set up at the front of the class, and they encouraged people to bring things to put on the altar. And they literally had everybody on there. They had the Virgin Mary, they had Jesus, they had Buddha, they had Ganesha, they had everything. And there were actually miracles happening when we were there just on the altar, like flowers were floating in front of statues and things like that. So they truly have made this be completely non-denominational, and they encourage anybody to come. I mean, they've had Buddhist monks come and go through all the teachings, and I know the monks that they've had from the Buddhist tradition have been very receptive to some of the teachings about oneness. And I would add, like, for an atheist, it doesn't have to be a religious experience. I mean, there is so much benefit to the blessing just in your day-to-day life, that even if you're not interested in source or connecting to the divine, I think there's a lot of benefit to be gotten from receiving the blessing.
Yeah, it's actually a really good opening. Thank you. You know, I have a number of friends around the world who I send the blessing to, and I do it remotely. And we know that they're receiving the blessing because they're very energy sensitive. And, of course, we're getting, you know, responses from people that are, you know, 5,000, 10,000 miles away. That it's as powerful as it was when I gave it to them in person. And, you know, I do get reports because there's a lot of them who are very sensitive and know, you know, the difference between Reiki energy or other healing energies or modalities and what this energy feels like, and that it's a very loving energy. And that, you know, for one of my friends who's up in Pennsylvania, Marissa, she's mentioned that, you know, because I've given her the blessing probably about 20 or 30 times, and she gives me a little report because she's very energy sensitive. Matter of fact, she doesn't allow anybody to work on her, and I thought it was a great honor that once she saw the oneness blessing as it was in my body and my energy system, that she got so interested in it. She goes, you know what, go ahead and send that to me. And I was like, okay. And she says for every time it shows up, it actually does something different in her body. You know, it's whatever she needs in that moment that's for her highest good. So every time it shows up, it can do something different. And there's reports of it all across the board that it, you know, it can quiet your mind. It can help you relax. It lets go of stress. It heals. It, you know, it has so many different things. And you know, my belief behind it, and this is really my belief, is really to say that I think it's really a blessing giver, basically connecting an individual to God. And when you make that connection with God, God knows what's in the best interest of you in that moment and what is necessary for you. And in that blessing that comes down through the, you know, the, that gift, it is whatever you need. And for every individual, that's going to be different. So I think it's such a beautiful gift and something that I've really enjoyed. And, you know, I think with that, I we want to go into our next topic, which is, you know, once I got in it, which was really because I wanted to find out more about oneness and I wanted to become a blessing giver and learn how to do the Diksha, and, you know, which is, of course, the blessing. The next thing that I noticed is that there was this process of really allowing me to have my own connection to my divine and whatever it was that I believed. And for every individual, that can be different, you know, and we kind of talked about all the different things that are out there and what people believe. And I think, you know, coming from a dogma-based religion, you know, I've spent a lot of years in the Baptist church, and then I spent close to 25 years in the Lutheran church. And I come from a very, very strong family of religious leaders and ministers and everything like that. So for me, I think one of the things that I always wanted was to really have a connection with my divine, and what oneness has given me on my path is that connection. So let's talk about that, because, you know, I kind of follow a little bit of the stuff we have up on the website. And the second topic we have for this evening is to talk about, in your particular path, some of the blocks that you were having and how they were keeping you from connecting with your divine. So maybe you could talk a little bit about what oneness meant to you, and then how you ended up with having a connection with the divine, and some of the blocks and how you overcame them.
Yes, well, so when I was at Oneness University in India, they're extremely focused on people getting connected to their divine. And, you know, after spending time there, listening to that, and going to a lot of other spiritual groups and retreats that I go to, it just seemed to me like people were always talking about these conversations that they were having with Source, and they were getting all this information. And I was just really frustrated, because I would get messages occasionally, but I was not able to have full conversations, and I could not understand why I was not able to connect to the divine like it seemed to me like other people were. And I am a serious meditator. I spend a lot of time in meditation, and I've done that for years, and I didn't understand, given how much time I was meditating, I was still having trouble making the connection. So what happened is, well, first of all, I found out that there are a lot of people that are having trouble connecting to the divine. And I got exposed to some teachings about the specifics about how to connect to the divine. Because all I was hearing was, you need to be connected to your divine, and you can try to do that, and you can feel some connection, but there actually are techniques and information that you need to know to make that connection take off. And when I received those teachings, it was really, for me, just like the doors completely blew off, because I had just been approaching it all wrong. And part of it is probably because, you know, I've been in corporate America for 30 years, and I'm very intellectual and analytical, and so I was always in my head. So the key to what I found is that I kept expecting that, so people would talk about, I saw my divine and my divine said this or my divine said that. And so I really was expecting to see my divine, to see God like you see with your eyes. And I was also expecting to hear a voice in my ear talking. And I would strain and strain to hear this voice, and I could never hear the voice. Well, what I came to realize is that we all have senses that are not part of the five senses that we were born and raised to use, you know, like hearing, seeing, touching, tasting. You have other senses. And once you understand that you need to use those other senses to make the connection, that was huge. So, for example, this seeing the divine, it's not like seeing with your eyes. And I've since found out that there are some people that see or have visions and it's like seeing with their eyes. But for most people, it's not like that. It's a different kind of seeing. It's like seeing in your mind's eye. And you may not see the face of your divine. It may be that you're sensing it. And for me, the way that it is it's not at all like seeing with your eyes. It's like you can sense it, but you can sense, I've gotten to the point now where I can sense a lot of detail. I mean, I can sense what the face looks like. I can sense clothing. I can sense the scene or what's happening. And it's actually amazing. It's like this whole other way of seeing. But we don't have a word to describe that. The only word that we have is the word seeing. And so when you hear the word seeing, you automatically think it's the kind of seeing you're used to doing when your eyes are open. The other thing is about hearing. You're used to hearing with your ears. Well, there's another way to hear, and the name that I would put on it is telepathy. So, you know, you've seen telepathy or you've heard about telepathy, but if you just think about what if somebody started communicating to me with telepathy, how would you know that that wasn't your own mind? And I came to realize that this is what was happening. The communication happens through telepathy, and you just have to open yourself up to it, and you need to allow it, and it will just come in like crazy. But you still, you know, when you start doing that, you keep thinking, am I making this up or not? And so that's where you've got to do it for a period of time, and then you'll start to realize that you're not making it up. And you can prove this to yourself by the information that you're getting. So for me, what started happening is I started getting information that was things that I didn't know anything about, and so there was no way that I could have made it up. And so that was a huge turning point for me when that happened. And also, energetically, if you're sensitive energetically, you can start feeling it energetically. And also, a lot of times, you get communication through emotion, so you'll suddenly start feeling extreme love or extreme joy, and you'll know that that's a form of communication too. And a lot of times communication will actually come in images, and so an image will come to you and it has all this meaning behind it and there's no words actually with it. And so you can get huge amounts of information. This kind of communication to me is actually an extreme improvement over physical talking, because what can be communicated is so much greater.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think, you know, one of the things that I noticed is, you know, first, as I mentioned earlier, from coming from my background, you know, until I started to read books like from Neil Diamond Walsh, Conversations with God, I didn't even realize that it was even a possibility. I mean, so much of what I was taught through a lot of my teachings basically said that, you know, I'm a sinner and I basically am not allowed to talk to God. I'm not even worthy of it. And that there is, you know, it's almost a sin to even consider the fact that you can have a conversation. I think, you know, pretty much anybody who listens to the show would say, well, yeah, I pray to God and everything like that. And it's more about putting out something out there. But I don't think anybody who even goes to that level would say, well, I don't know what I would actually do if God actually started talking to me. You know, and I think some people do have that connection, even in the religious areas, which I think is beautiful. I think for a lot of people like myself, I had a very hard personal dogma that I had to overcome even to allow the conversations to begin. And like yourself, you know, just like, you know, I've taught a lot of classes on intuitive development and stuff. And, you know, one of the things I always teach people is it's really just, you know, paying attention. You know, once you start to pay attention, put your focus on stuff, you'd be amazed at the amount of information and intuition. Some guys call it the gut feeling. Some women call it the woman's intuition. And you know, most of us have that inner guidance that's there. And I think for me, one of the things that really excited me and really brought it together was being able to, through the oneness teachings, to actually have my own connection with the divine And initially, when I did start to have those conversations, I thought the same things that you did. And that is, I was kind of thinking to myself, well, this can't be what I think it is, because to me, what I noticed is that it came very, very easily. Like, it came so simply that I almost was expecting that it had to be my ego or that internal voice in my head that was actually talking to me, and it wasn't actually the divine. But then as I noticed, like you said, that a lot of the information that was coming through was so advanced with stuff that I just didn't even have knowledge of, that I started to see what I would call validations of exactly this new connection, this new communication. So to me, that was just really, really powerful.
Yeah, I know the first time I ever had God talk to me, I was not on a spiritual path at all. And I was driving in my car, and I was having a major emotional problem, like getting near to having a breakdown. And I finally just said, okay, God. I had actually just read Conversations with God, believe it or not. It was the first spiritual book I'd read in many years. And I'm like, okay, God, I need an answer to this problem. I don't know what to do. I'm about to have a breakdown. And please give me the answer. And P.S., when you give me the answer, make sure that I know it's from you. And instantly, the answer in three parts came to my mind in a flash. And I was driving. I was going to Kohl's. And I started bawling in the car. And I didn't know what happened. I knew that it wasn't me. And I, at that time, I'm like, that was God. Talk to me. And I completely flipped out, and I didn't know what to do. I mean, that just came out of the blue because I had no spiritual practice at all until I got desperate and I actually prayed or asked for help for the first time in 20 years. And then it came like a flash. But then after that experience, it just settled way back down. So that was the thing that really got me on the spiritual path, was that experience. I'm like, what happened? I'd never heard of God talking to people. I was on the internet. Does God talk to people? What does this mean? I didn't know what to do with that. So it's been a long path to get to where I am now, but that's how it all started.
Wow. You know, one of the things that I want to talk about on the show this evening, which, you know, I think a lot of people are familiar with, or maybe they're not, so we'll give a little bit of background on that, and that is communication with what is called guides. And since some people might not know what this is, why don't you go ahead and just tell people, what is a guide and why would you have communication with a guide?
Okay. Well, first of all, the first thing I'm going to say is we've been talking about the divine. Actually, whatever your divine is, I consider that to be a guide. To me, they're just different words that you're using. So, and actually, I tend to use the word guide. So what a guide is, and you can have more than one guide, and they are there to assist you. And most people have one or more guides assigned to them that work with you and help you in your life if you're open to it and you're receptive and you ask for it. So, and then what you'll find is once you open to your immediate guide or guides, it starts getting broader and broader, and you'll start getting introduced to more and more beings that help you. At least that has been what my experience is. And so I'm always getting connected with different ones. So, and the amount of information, it's not just getting information from them. You can ask them to work on you energetically. You can ask them to help you deal with problems. And they literally can go in your energy field and work on you. They can give you information, like if you're having an emotional problem, where I've been taken back into past lives before to show me where this came from and why I'm feeling that way. And it's incredibly healing when you see that. It's like when you see why an emotion is being caused, when you see it, you can release it. And so it's very healing. So I just feel like it's really critically important for anybody that's on the spiritual path to connect to their guides, because the minute you do that, you will just take an exponential leap in your spiritual path.
Yeah, I think my introduction to guides, you know, originally came from reading the book from Newton called Journey of Souls. And For people who aren't familiar with Newton's work, Newton basically did a lot of advanced forms of hypnosis where he was able to take people into really relaxed states. And during that state, they started to talk about some of the experiences they were having from the time they died until the time they were reborn again, and what we would call the life between life process. I've done a lot of past life work because I'm certified to do past life regression, and most of that has to do with going back and looking at, you know, what lifetimes you've had before and what you've learned, and, you know, how maybe some of the aspects of those lifetimes might actually be bleeding through and impacting you in this lifetime, either as sickness or phobias or fears or anything like that. For lots of people that I take on the past life regression process or journey, it's more about just experiencing some of their past lives and giving them that proof that there is life after death, that there is a divine, that there is a bigger picture going on. And the truth being that we're really just spirit in human form having a human experience. So, you know, in Newton's work, he kind of talked about, you know, what occurs, you know, from the time you die to the time you're reborn again. And, you know, through that process of setting up, you know, what we would call goals or whatever for your lifetime to be completed, there's this idea that there is a higher level being that has a lot of experience who basically is given to you from the time you're born until the time you die, which is your main guide, and that main guide specifically is supposed to kind of keep you on your tasks and everything. So, you know, if you're supposed to become a doctor and all of a sudden you're going to, you know, school to be a pilot, you know, most of your classes are getting canceled or you can't get a flight license or, you know, there's all these roadblocks and everything that kind of are trying to put you back in the, on your path. So, you know, going back to that topic and going back to the fact that there is these guides that can help you and that they are available for people who want to have that communication. You talk about some of the things that are useful as far as being able to communicate with them.
Well, I think when you start out trying to connect to guides, because we're human, you know, we relate to another physical being. And so I think it's really useful at the beginning to have an image for your divine, and it can be anybody you're close to. So it could be Jesus, or it could be Buddha, or it could be Mary. It can be anybody. And I think that's a good start because it helps you feel connected to somebody you're probably already connected to. The next thing that I found super, super helpful in getting connected to guides was doing affirmations. Now, I think when you're starting out, the best way to connect with guides is to go into a meditative state to do that because you need to get your mind pretty quiet. So what I found is that you go into meditation and then you start saying some affirmations. And when I say that, I mean you're basically making statements about what you want in your life right now. So an example would be, I am completely connected to the divine 100% of the time. I can communicate with my divine, and the communication is perfectly clear. I understand all communication coming to me from the divine. I'm completely connected to my higher self. I can communicate with my higher self for my highest and best good. So the affirmations that I normally say, I don't have a script. They just change day to day based on what's happening in my life at that time. But early on when I was trying to connect, when I started doing affirmations, that made the hugest difference. I started seeing results with that within probably a couple weeks of just making these positive statements, affirmative statements, that I was connected and I could speak with my divine and I could have conversations and I could understand all the communication in whatever form that it came in. That was huge. So you got your mind clear, you do your affirmation, and then you need to really focus on connecting and you need to put all of your focus on that. And what you do is you just sense, like you may just see blackness. So you just turn on your sensors and you sense, do you feel anything? Do you feel a presence? Do you maybe see in your mind's eye a swirl in the darkness? And you just stay really open and really receptive and really focus on that connecting. And from there, you can ask a question. You can, you may start receiving something immediately. I think a really good question to ask, just a general question, is there anything that I need to know right now? And when you start out with this, you might just get one or two words. But what you'll find is, as you go on, you start having the ability to have entire conversations. And then you can say, you know, hey, this happened to me during the day. Why did this happen? Why am I feeling this way? And they can help you with that. Sometimes you'll start getting information where they're telling you things about what happened to you that day or why you're feeling a certain way. Now, if you're sitting there sensing and you're not getting anything, a lot of times when people start out, they have a lot of trouble with that. They're not getting anything. And so there's a way that you can prime the pump, so to speak. You know how you prime a pump when you want water to start coming out? You can prime the pump of communicating with your guides by imagining communication. So what you would do is you would say, tell me something that I need to know right now. And then you just imagine that your guide is saying something. And then you say something back. And then you just imagine that the guide is responding again. And you'll find that once you start even just imagining it, it starts taking on a life of its own, and the flow will actually start going on its own. And I found that out early on, that that's what happens. I would start out imagining it, and then it would start turning into stuff that I knew that I wasn't making up. And that helps a lot. So this whole process, like I said, it'll start slow, and it actually will take time to build up to where you can have a full conversation. And you're going to find that, I mean, I find this a lot. Even now, I will ask questions, and I don't get an answer. And so I ask it again, and I don't get an answer. Sometimes they'll say, you know, we're not going to answer that. You need to figure that out for yourself. But sometimes I get no answer at all. And usually what happens when I don't get an answer is within a few days the answer comes to me. And I don't mean in meditation. It'll, like, happen during the day at some time. And, Mark, you know this from reading the book Conversations with God, because Neil Donald Walsh talks a lot in that book about how there is synchronicity. And so what happens is things will start appearing in your life. So if you had a question, you may end up having a conversation with a person in your everyday life. And all of a sudden they'll say something, and you're like, oh, my gosh, that's the answer I wanted. Or you'll be reading a book, and all of a sudden this thing will jump out of the book, and you know that's it. Or it'll come in a song. So a lot of times these answers will come to you in ways that you don't expect at all. And I always get answers. So whenever I ask anything, that answer will come to me within 2 or 3 days, and sometimes it comes within an hour or two. And then the one other thing that I would suggest when you're communicating with your guides is you really, if you're doing it when you're in meditation, you really get into an altered state. And you'll find that when you come out of it, you really need to journal it immediately and journal all the information that you got, because you'll find that you start forgetting it. It's kind of like when you're dreaming. You know how you have a dream and you wake up and you're like, oh, man, that dream was so awesome. And then as the day goes on, it starts, like, leaving you, and you remember you had the dream, but you don't remember all the details. It's like that. It's like when you get in these altered states, when you're in deep meditation, your memory isn't fully engaged. And so when you come out of it, you really need to journal all of it. So, and what you were told and what was said, so that you have a record of it. Because I found, like, I'll even go back and read my journals from 2 weeks ago, and I'll read stuff in there that I'm like, oh, how did I that? You know, things that are really important. I mean, I read over my journals a lot. And there's things in there that I think, how could I have possibly forgotten that? But it's because your memory just isn't fully engaged when you get in states like that. The other thing that I've noticed is once you get to where you can communicate well with your guides in a meditative state, it becomes a lot easier to have communication when you're not in meditation. Like I found in the car, I get a lot of communication because I'm by myself. It's quiet in the car. I never play music in the car because I want it just quiet because I have a lot of things that can come in when I'm driving. And I expect as I go along, I'll start getting it more and more. In fact, ideally, I would like to get to a point where, you know, I'm getting communication all day as I go through my day. That would be awesome. So that would be my tips for how to really facilitate having a conversation with your guides and how to get it going and how it'll progress as time goes on.
Yeah, I know from some of the teachings that I've had and also for one of the classes that I teach on how to connect to your higher self, there's some guidelines that we give to people on why you might get an answer, not get an answer, get something that's either no response or, you know, not even an answer. So as an example, when I originally set up communication with something called my higher self, I had set up what I called my own symbols on how the communication would occur. And my symbols are very simple. I get a simple yes, I get a no, and it's more of, like you said, that you know, almost like that thought that appears in your mind kind of thing, telepathically. And if I get something that's kind of like indecisive, meaning there's no, it's not yes and it's not no, it's like middle ground, I get that sign that you see on the road that normally shows that you're going to go through like three curves. So I get like that yellow sign comes up right in my mind, my mind's eye, and I see that when I ask a question. And, you know, as I kind of expanded on that and noticed, you know, communication with the guides and communication with my divine and everything like that, that there's a couple reasons why I might not get an answer, I might not get a clear response to my question. And some of those guidelines are basically, number one, and this is basically for me and what I've experienced. Number one, it could be because you're asking about something that you don't have the right to know about. So, you know, maybe, you know, even though you and I are friends, I might be saying, hey, you know, tell me everything that's going on with Barbara. Why is she so cranky? Or, and, you know, a lot of that isn't any of my business, you know, to truly know what's going on with you or what might be going on in your life. So lots of times the divine or the higher self or whatever will come back and just not answer the question. And it's because whatever it is that you're asking, you don't have the right to know it. You know, it really is about your own life and your own path and stuff. And when you start trying to understand or what I like to say, meddle in other people's lives, you know, unless it's your own child and under a certain age, you generally don't have the right to know certain things about other individuals. So using the guidance in that situation, lots of times the guides will come back and they just want to answer the question. I think for the number two reason that I might get a interesting response would be because the timing isn't right for me to know what's going on. And it could be because there's something in development, you know, the guides or something are putting together like a new job for me that's beyond anything I could ever expect. Or they want me to learn something first before they just give me information. So lots of times because of your growth and your path and the way it's unfolding, you won't get information right away because for you to receive that information would interfere with your unfolding or your growth. And lots of times, which is another interesting thing, is sometimes, you know, if you're asking a question, it could be that the choice that you want to make, either choice A or choice B, are basically equal. And it really doesn't matter which way you go. You know, a simple question, you know, which not something we would normally ask, but a simple question would be something like, you know, should I wear the red shirt or the blue shirt tomorrow? You know, and, you know, you go and ask your guides that, and they're like, you know what, you look good in both of them, so who cares? You know, so, you know, they're just, you know, so lots of times you might ask a question and, you know, you know, depending on, you know, what path you're going to go on or what choices you make in life, you can go one way or the other. And, you know, when the day's over, you're going to end up at the bottom of the river, you know, one way or the other. So, you know, so the question you're asking actually doesn't need to be answered, you know, or, you know, the choice could be either one. You both equally weighted. So just some interesting experiences from that. Let me go ahead and just do a quick break. We usually take it on the half hour, but the conversation has been so interesting that we haven't had a chance. So I want to just let everybody know you're listening to Spiritual Connections Radio. Our co-host, Pamela Torre, is actually on break in Europe for the summer, and she'll be back with us in September, so we'll be really excited to have her back on the show. And we have with us Barbara this evening, who's talking about oneness, having your own personal communications with whatever it is you believe in, which we call the divine, talking to your guides. And, of course, you know, to find out more about this show and other shows, you can go to our website, which is spiritualconnectionsradio.com. As we start to wind into the last part of the show, Barb, let's talk about the different uses of meditation and very specifically beyond the basics of meditation. Specifics related to using meditation to connect with your divine as far as getting communication.
Well, you know, I have a very strong background in meditation. I was actually doing a lot of meditation before I got into oneness. I really feel like meditation is really critical to being able to make the connection with your divine. The reason for that is that you need to be able to still your mind. And the stiller you can get your mind, the more you can feel your inner senses. Because, you know, you mentioned earlier about your monkey mind. The noise of your mind does not allow you to hear subtle things that are going on. So if you've got to be able to quiet all that noise down so you can sense the subtlety of the communication, because the communication is subtle. So what meditation does is it helps you to quiet your mind and to develop stillness. And if you have a regular meditation practice where you're meditating every day, you'll start to find that your mind is much quieter just during normal daily activities. You'll find yourself a lot calmer and a lot peacefuler. So that makes it a lot easier to connect with your divine during the day when you're not in meditation. So I've had a daily meditation practice for a really long time. I think that, you know, if a person could do it for at least a half an hour a day, that would be a good idea. I think it's important to have a space, like a set-aside space where you do that, that you would consider to be your sacred space. And you can set up an altar there if you want and put pictures of the spiritual beings that you're connected to. You know, you can put crystals on it. You can put, you know, a cross or any mementos you have. Your altar can really be anything, whatever helps you feel connected to the divine. And then as far as what kind of meditation practice you do, that's entirely up to you. There are so many different kinds of meditation. Usually when people are starting out meditating, it can be helpful to do active meditation. And what an active meditation does is, and here I'm kind of going into some Osho stuff, because Osho was very, very big on meditation, and he really believed that the Western mind needed active meditation. So an active meditation starts out with some kind of physical activity, and oftentimes most of the collectivities are designed to raise your kundalini or get your energy really going and just throw out all the garbage in your mind. So, and that can be through just shaking your body. It can be through gibberish. It can be through dancing. It can be through yelling. And then once you do that for 15 or 20 minutes, then you can sit down and go into meditation, and your mind will be a lot quieter because you've thrown all that out. So a lot of times when people are starting out, that's the best kind of meditation to start with. You know, once you get past the point where you need that activity to be able to settle your mind down, there's so many kinds of what I would call passive meditation, where you're really just seated. There's Vipassana meditation, which is actually, if you've got to be pretty serious to do Vipassana meditation. There's breathing meditations. You can find guided meditations. So there's all kinds of different meditations you can do, and if you just get on the internet or go to a meditation class, you'll get a lot of ideas for that. But the one that I am super passionate about right now is using technology to go into deep states of meditation. And I still go to a lot of meditation retreats, but when I am at home doing my own meditation, I am using technology because I think you will go a lot farther, a lot faster when you use what I would call brainwave entrainment technology. It's also called binaural beats. There's a lot of different names for it out there, and there's a lot of different products out there. But basically how those work is you put on headphones, and it's usually set to some kind of music, but behind the music are frequencies that put your brain into higher states of consciousness. And when I first heard about this,
I was like, yeah, right. But when you try it, it's
unbelievable. Because as a person who had been meditating a lot, when I actually started using this technology, I could not believe the difference that it made. And so now when I meditate, I sit in stillness and put on the headphones and put on these frequencies, because it takes you really deep into meditation really, really fast. You can meditate for years and never get into the states that you can get into when you use this technology. And so I find that when I use that, it's way easier to connect with guidance. And the other thing is, when you start using the frequencies, when your brain gets used to the frequencies, you start developing the ability to go into those states without having to listen to it anymore. And so that's really valuable. And ever since I caught on to using the frequencies, it's gone way deeper for me, and everything's gone much, much quicker. It's made a huge difference. So if anybody's serious about connecting to guides and you just want to cut to the chase, that would be my recommendation, is use that technology to help you.
That's amazing. In the last minute or so, is there a specific person that creates some of those that would be a recommendation?
Yes. The first one would be the Monroe Institute. They produce HemiSync CDs, and you can buy those anywhere on the Internet. And I would extremely recommend going to the Monroe Institute for specific training if you have the time and money to do that. And then the other product, the one that I'm using right now, is called Profound Meditation, and that is by iAwake Technologies, and they sell a package that you can use. And that's the one that I like. That's working for me better now than HemiSync, although I love the Monroe Institute, and I do go there regularly. That would be my recommendation.
Very, very cool. Well, thank you for being on the show. It was great having you on, and to see you share all this great information, Barbara. And with that, I will say good night, and thanks again.
Thank you, Mark.
Everybody, you've been listening to Spiritual Connections Radio. This show will be available for replay probably in about 5 minutes. They generally put it up pretty quick. So if you missed any part of the show, or if you're looking for some of the information that you heard on the show, you can listen to the replay. And with that, I'm going to say goodnight to everybody, and thank you, and you've been listening to Spiritual Connections Radio. Good night, everybody. Good night, Barbara. Thanks.
Hey, one thing, Mark.